Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God we're here just another day, amen, to be able to get into the Word of God, amen, which is called the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Jesus Himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So truly that's what we are glad to be able to do, is to get into the book, or it is called the Bible, knowing that the Bible is a book. Amen. So like Isaiah says, seek ye out of the book of the law. None shall make her mate. We thank God that we're able to do just that. Get into none other than the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God. So it's good for us to be here. Thank God, amen, that He got up from the grave on the third day morning. Amen. Just like He said that He would, with a mighty triumph for His soul. That is a great blessing within itself. Amen. Like He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. The Jews thought that He was talking about that temple that it took 46 years to build. But He spake of the temple, His body. So our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the temple of God is holy. The writer goes on to say, and he answers, ask a question, and that is, he says, which temple are ye? So, that's what we should endeavor to do and to be. So I'd like to say welcome to all our Blog Talk listeners on this day, the 11th of January in the year 2011. And also we'd like to welcome our Twitter listeners and also our Facebook listeners, especially the new listeners that are on board. Welcome to Truth Ministry. That is definitely what we are endeavoring to do, and that is to tell the truth. Like the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So, and then we know that the truth will make us free. So we're thankful for that. So we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and also I don't want to forget to give our call-in number, and that is, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So should you have a comment, should you have a question, you are welcome to call in to our show. And some just call in just to listen to the show. So you have the liberty to be able to do just that. And so we're thankful for that. We thank God for this vehicle that we have and the person and the tools that we have to be able to do this show, and that is Blog Talk Radio. So that is a blessing to be able to do that, to use this, amen, the internet, to be able to broadcast God's word, and that is a blessing to be able to do that. So we have been going through the book of Ephesians and knowing that this is the first of the Apostle Paul's prison epistles. And this epistle is unlike the other epistles in Romans. We know that he had heard of their faith and he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. We know that in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he had a church that he had to set order in. The very unruly and things that they were doing. They were committing fornication. They were doing all kinds of things out of order. So he had to set order in that church. This church, particular church here, being one of his prison epistles, was a church that had the mystery of God to be unfolded in this particular church. So it's he's definitely trying to get the believer to see the position that they are in when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And so that is the secret of the power, having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the name of Jesus, these believers here in the church at Ephesus, and the oneness. And so they had to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this is so important. So they knew that they were blessed with all the spiritual blessings that they had. And their eyes are understanding to know what is the hope of his calling, his riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to the church who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and might, and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that also which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we know that the church, the ecclesia, the called out one, is literally spiritual. That is the spiritual sense, is a living organism, which is called the body of Christ. And everybody is not in the body of Christ, but why, by one Spirit are you all baptized into Christ, whether you be Jew or Greek, whether you be bond or free. He says whether you be male or female. That's in the book of Galatians, when he wrote to the church at Galatia. So you got to get in the body of Christ. You got to be baptized into the body of Christ. So you got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And like we spoke of on last week, the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which they had to go back to Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. So we know on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is when the Holy Ghost initially was poured out. We know that after the resurrection, that Jesus is on the earth for 40 days. Then 10 days later, he ascended up into heaven after the 40 days, stepped on a cloud and received them out of their sight. And then 10 days later, the Holy Ghost came. He came back. He said, I'm going to come back, and you're going to rejoice. So in the 16th chapter of St. John, he's talking about the Spirit of Truth. In the 14th, 15th, 16th chapters, he's talking about how he's going to go away, how he's going to come back, how you're going to rejoice. He mentioned in the 16th chapter of St. John about a woman being in travail. Then when her hour comes and she brings forth that child, she don't remember no more the anguish. So that's, he kind of put that in, with made a correlation out of that about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is the joy that you have been looking for. That's the joy that the world is looking for. He says it's my joy. So my joy, he wants that joy to be fulfilled in us. So he says it's my joy, which is his joy, to become our joy. And we can say it's our joy. So we thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. And even in back in the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, when he went on to say, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading, Nehemiah 8 and 8. So all what he was saying as they stood and they read out of the book of the law, and then he went on to say that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So now we have it in us. It's not wrote on the tablets of stone and all that, but it's wrote in our heart. It's on the inward parts, down in our soul. So this is why that the Word of God is alive, like we have been saying. It's quick and it's powerful. It's alive. It's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's alive in us. So that's why Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, I pray, God, that your body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. So that's why we have to take care of our body. Our body is not that when he wrote to the church at Corinth, straightening all those things out, these people were committing adultery and fornication and all. And he was saying the body is not for fornication, but the body is for the Lord. So the only way to prevent adultery and fornication is for every man to have his own wife, every woman to have her own husband. And you keep yourself unto your wife, if you're the husband, or to your wife, to your husband, if you're the wife. So in other words, every man be with every husband be with his own wife, and every wife be with her own husband, and keep yourself unto them. And that's the way God intended for it to be. We know it's not like that, but you can be born again, and you can be kept. God will keep you after you have been born again. He's able to keep you. He's able, like the scripture says. We're going to get to that part in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians in the 20th verse when it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church. So, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So, on last week, we had started off in the 2nd chapter of the book of Ephesians, and so he's talking to the church, people that have been born again, like we always stress. You can't just start reading somebody's mail. If you don't work for IBM, then what's in their contract doesn't pertain to you. If you don't work for General Motors, what's in their contract doesn't pertain to you. If you don't work for Ford Motor Company or for Chrysler Corporation or none of these other companies, what's in their contract does not pertain unto you. If you don't work for CompuWare, that doesn't pertain unto you. You can't just start reading that and say, I'm do this and I'm do that. There's you have to be hired to get the benefits of that company. So it is with the Word of God. You have to be born again to be able to lay claim to the promises of God. So that is, you have to take on, like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, they knew what the secret of the power was. They knew where salvation was. And then, and where it is then in the New Testament church and where it is now, that is in the name of Jesus. And so that's why you have to be buried with him by baptism. So that's what washes away your sins or remits your sins, or you be identified or planted together in the likeness of his death. You shall too also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's a born-again experience. As he said to Nicodemus, that you must be born again. Wind bloweth where it listeneth, where it will. You can hear the sound thereof. You can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues, like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the born again experience. Like I said on last week, in the book of Galatians, it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy. So a baby does cry after he is born. So ye hath he quickened. So he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we can see people are doing whatever they want to do, whatever they feel big enough and bad enough to do, as in our vernacular, words that we use. That's they're doing whatever comes to their mind. And some people, and this is what the Bible say. Paul wrote to Timothy in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, I believe, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He goes on to say, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. And he goes on to say there that for them which believe and created to be received with thanksgiving, to them which believe and know the truth, every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Here's the key. Verse 5, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 5, for talking about previously when he's talking about the creature, the meat, and whatever he's talking about is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But what I'm really talking about is the first and second verse there when he was saying people speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. All of that, all in that verse. So there's people who used to be married before, and they are now don't want to be married, and just saying marriage is just a piece of paper. No, it's a piece of paper, yes. It is a piece of paper that you recognize in the system by the state in which you live that you are legally married. Because as people going to probate court, people going to court, you don't have a right to something if you are not the spouse. You don't have somebody's name. Doesn't matter how. That's what's going to matter. It's got to be in writing. Just like you have to get a driver's license. Driver's license, you got to pass the requirements for the jurisdiction or the state in which you live to be able to get that driver's license. Now, some people have license and don't drive. I mean, the more you do it, you're going to get better at it. But the point being, it's a privilege to be able to do that. But on the other hand, the piece of paper is what justifies you, that you have committed yourself, be it if you've been married by a preacher or by a priest or by a judge or by the justice of the peace, whatever, it's recognized in the sight of God, that is, you committed to this person, and this person is committed to you, and you're joined together, as the Bible said, in holy matrimony. So two says he shall be one flesh. You're going to be joined together. And so what God has put joined together, let no man put asunder. So marriage is honorable in all, the Bible said. And marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But he goes on to say, this is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter. Apostle Paul is talking about marriage. And about marriage, yes, the 13th chapter and verse 4, he was saying, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So it's honorable to be married, not just you're staying with your girlfriend and she wake you up so you can go to work, or vice versa. But it's honorable to be married. So That's why the Bible says about us, you know, about your father chastening you and all. So he was saying, if you be without chastisement, he's saying, then are you bastards and not sons. And so he says, we've had fathers that our fathers have chastised us. So shall not we honor ourselves, so honor the Father of spirits and live. Talking about our spiritual father. So the reason why he chastises us is because he loves us. So these things, you got to be, there is a name to put on something. There is a significance in a name. Even in products that we buy, there is something about a name. So you can take a Ford, you can take a Chevrolet, you can take a BMW, you can take a Cadillac and put Rolls Royce on there all you want. But that is not a Rolls Royce. That is an exclusive product that they say that is made of handmade materials and the best of materials. And so there is something about a name. So it is with the name of Jesus. Everybody don't know about the salvation plan of God. And so that's why we're endeavoring to bring this word, to bring this show called Truth, to do just that, to help people along their way, because you need somebody to shine light in a dark place, just like it was in Capernaum when Jesus first came. It was a dark place. But Jesus, he went into Capernaum and dwelt there. So the people that sat in darkness, they saw a great light. So that is what we're trying to do, is to shine the light of God's word. Just like we say, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a term, that's a light going off. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So something that you could not see, so you don't see what I'm talking about. And then we make the light come on in your mind where you, oh, I see what you're saying. I see what the word says. Now I see. So that's what the word of God does. And so the writer in the psalm says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it'll show me the way to walk and show me the path to walk in. So that's what God's word will do. So he says, these people, you know, how people were in times past, we were dead in sin and trespasses. So you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, the children, whom among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So I know we kind of went over this on last week. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, has raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So he goes on. So we know that's not just talking about this world, but in the ages to come, it's going to be to try to understand why and how he loved us so. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you got to know, you don't just know how to walk. Somebody has to teach you how to walk in God's word. We just don't know how to do that on our own. So that's why the Bible said that God set it to solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Psalm 68 and verse 6. So you got to be in a local church. So God has order in the local church. So you can be taught in the local church by the ministry of the church, because that is the way that God has set it up. So that's why Peter was saying about God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. So we got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. So he was saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But the whole point is we have to be subject one to another in the fear of God. So if you're not in a church, a local church that the Lord has set up, there's nobody to submit yourselves to. So God has order. That's why we have to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it doesn't matter who you are. Even among our board of bishops in our organization, the presiding bishop is subject to the board of bishops. Everybody is subject to somebody. After all, we are men on earth. We're subject one to another. So we have to follow God's word just that way. We have to be subject one to another. So this is why we have to learn how to walk. As he says, God hath ordained that we should walk in them, so we are his workmanship. So we have to learn how to walk, and we just don't know how to walk on our own. Same way it is in the natural with our children. When they learn how to walk, we have to help them. And then thing about a child, I notice even like my youngest granddaughter is 2 1/2. Children, they walk. They don't look where they're going a lot. You got to look where you're going. As a child of God, he told us to watch and pray. So you got to walk circumspectly, not as fools, not as wise. We got to redeem the time, for the days are evil. I know I kind of hopped ahead here, but as we had ended up last week talking about our walk here in the 10th verse. So anyway, on today we thank God that we have also one of our co-hosts in the gospel, in the person of Elder David Clifton. We're going to give over to him right now as we endeavor to move on in this lesson.
Amen.
Elder
amen.
Clifton.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Elder, I was almost actually just meditating throughout the week. I know we left off last week. We were getting ready to step into I believe is the 11th verse.
Yes, yes.
Amen. But I wanted to just to go back and make mention, dealing with verse, amen, number 9 going up to verse 11. It says, verse number 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse number 11, Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time,
yes,
ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Amen. And we were last week we made mention of works.
Yeah.
And the fact that I forgot to mention, there was a time in the Old Testament the Jews, they had to be circumcised. That was sought as being clean, and that was something that all the children had to go through as Jews. Now, when the Gentiles began to come into the fold in the New Testament, when Christ went to the cross, there were some of the Jews that were still saying that the Gentiles still needed to perform this work, amen, if you will, to be circumcised. And we need to make mention of that. Again, that's dealing with, it's nothing you can do at this point to make yourself clean without the blood of Christ.
Right.
You can be a Jew, you can be a Gentile. The circumcision aspect in the New Testament will not help you, amen, get a closer relationship with Christ. That work that you will do is not going to save you. Likewise, if you know you have people, and I know plenty of them, amen, they give to the poor, they give to charity, they donate. I remember a couple years back when I had broke down on the side of the highway, and this gentleman was nice enough to pull over. My car had overheated.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that's what I do. I take time out, and I just drive down the highways, and I look for people broke down, and I try to help them out. That's a good work.
Yeah.
But without the blood of Christ, without getting into the body of Christ the proper way, that does not allow you, amen, to call yourself a child of God. That does not give you the access to God that many people think that it does. Amen?
Right, right, yeah. So in the New Testament church, that's why Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he said, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly,
mm-hmm.
neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, is not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. But the whole point is, just like the Hebrew writer says, it's so important that he said, remember what he told us, what we're going to get to in the sixth chapter, and he says, above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Uh-huh.
So on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in the heart. That word is quick and powerful. It's a sharp two-edged sword.
Amen.
It circumcises our heart.
That's right.
When we hear the gospel.
That's right.
So that's like the Bible. That's why in the previous book that we just came out of, when he wrote to the church of Galatia, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's uh-huh. neither male or female. But you are all one in Christ. So everybody is in the same position as a believer.
Amen.
Now, we know, like we mentioned before, that the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, which is the remnant that he's going to bring in during that time,
uh-huh.
you know, after the rapture of the church, that's another time, and that's going to come in.
Amen.
But right now, everybody in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free,
mm-hmm.
nor male nor female, but we're all one in the body of Christ
body
at
of
this
Christ.
Particular time.
Amen. And
yes.
verse 13 says, it says, but now
yes.
in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Right, so the Gentiles. We didn't have access.
We didn't have access.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. You
right.
could be a doctor. You could be someone that came off the streets, an ex-drug mm-hmm. user, abuser, seller. It doesn't matter. We all have to come into the body of Christ
yes.
through the same door, through the same way. And at that point in time, we are even. We are brothers
yes.
and sisters in the Lord. So it doesn't matter where you come from.
Right.
But it does matter how you get into the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's something that I do believe we have reiterated over the past couple of years while doing this broadcast.
Yes.
And again, it goes down to what the scriptures say. A lot of people have opinion.
Yes.
But they don't want to go into the Bible and read, amen, what the Bible says as far as getting into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen? So verse number 14 goes on and says, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit, amen,
unto the Father.
So again, it shows that how the Jew and the Gentile are now brothers and sisters.
Right.
Christ went to the cross, that separation, because there was a time when only the Jews had access to God, and anyone else was looked at, if you will, as dogs.
Yes.
Amen. We were not equal to Jews. We had no access to Christ. We could not call him Father. But when he went to the cross, amen, he took down, as the Bible says, that middle partition. He allowed everyone, any man,
yes.
woman or child, access to him, and we have to thank God for that. And another thing we shouldn't do, as Paul said, told to the Romans, we shouldn't boast.
Right.
Us being Gentiles.
Yes.
Because we are not the natural branch. We
right.
were grafted in
mm-hmm.
because of Israel's
unbelief. Yes.
So again, even that gift to us as Gentiles, we should be much more thankful.
Right.
Because it's because of Israel's unbelief that he even grafted us, amen,
right.
into that branch.
Yes. Hit their unbelief and God's foreknowledge. That's what Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Timothy 2 and 4. He says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So he goes, I love this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men,
mm-hmm.
the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Amen.
So in the foreknowledge, it was the will of God. He gave them the oracles of God. He loved them so. But even back in the Old Testament, all the stuff that they did and turned their back on God, God was sick of them beyond measure. We would, for lack of a better word, he was sick of them. But he still didn't cast away the people which he foreknew in the 11th chapter of Romans, what he's talking about. He said, has God cast away the people which he foreknew?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. So in other words, so until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then he's going to turn back to Israel. Because he loved them, and so he loved us, but it's foreknowledge. So God doesn't see as we see. Even going way back when God chose David out of the sons of Jesse, says the Lord don't see as man seeth. At that time he said, God looketh, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart at that time. But now God is, we're body, soul, and spirit. God don't see us as we see us. We're looking at shapes and all of this stuff as people.
Amen.
But God is looking at the intent of our heart. That's why his word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
So that's what's so important. So God sees us. And he loves us, and his foreknowledge, he knows that, you know, what we're going to do. So that's why we got to keep our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Choice is still up to us, but God still knows his foreknowledge of what we're going to do. So that's why we should have the right attitude, not be bitter, you know, forgiving one, tenderhearted, like he said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen.
That's the attitude we have to have.
Amen, amen. And I thank God for the foreknowledge, but another thing that we have to let you know, the listeners know is that eternal salvation. We don't have the foreknowledge.
Right.
The once saved, always saved, that's not according to our mind.
No.
It's according to God's foreknowledge, and he's the only one that can see that.
Yes.
As the Bible says, he had declared the ending
from
the beginning.
Yes.
He has seen it all
because
he is all. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So he looks at us, and he sees the finished product.
Right.
We are... as I preach the message, we're a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
We are not finished yet, but God knows what the end result is. Amen.
Right, right. But we just have to keep our heart with all diligence, so we can, like people go around. People used to say, "The Lord have to forgive me." Well, they're right with that, the way they said that. But sometimes you don't need to do things where you got to be asking for forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, taking stuff in your own hands, say, "Well, God just have to forgive me."
Uh-huh.
I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to do what I want. No, you just have to give it to God.
That's right.
You know, take your burden to him. You know, cast all your care upon him. Yeah. Peter said, for he cares for you. So you just, when we can watch and pray and acknowledge him,
mm-hmm.
then we won't be messing up.
Amen. David's prayer was, keep thy servant from presumptuous
right.
sin.
Yeah.
So we can't go into things with the attitude, or I'll just pray about it. You know, God will forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Presumptuous, or I like to say premeditated.
Right.
Sin. You know, there's a difference in the natural between premeditated murder
right.
and manslaughter.
Right.
You may just happen to
out of reaction.
Out of reaction to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as bad as you sitting at home making a plan
right.
to go out and to murder somebody. That's
mm-hmm.
first degree. That's premeditated.
And that's a legal term. Murder.
So the same thing with sin. You can't sit back and plan out this sin, you know, because you want to have a desire fulfilled, and then say, well, once I do it, I'll ask God for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
because he has to grant repentance,
right.
amen, in order for you to even be forgiven.
Yeah.
So again, we can't take our opinions about God. We have to get into this book. We have to understand, you know, his laws and his statutes so that we can walk, amen, closer with him.
Yeah, I just thought something else I wanted to do, instead of just always waiting to the end for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I know I give the call number out again. Should you desire to call in, or should you have a comment or a question, you can do that, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And also, I would like to give you my our email address, and that is, the email address is truthministry, TRUTHMINISTRY, 5525@att.net. That is truthministry, 5525@att.net. Because some people, they'd rather write a letter than to talk. Then some of us, we could express ourselves better
mm-hmm.
verbally if we talk than trying to type everything out.
Amen.
So that's, thank God that we have incidentally, this is Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
So some people are bloggers and some people are talkers.
Amen.
So either way, so that we will go on in our lesson.
Amen. So chapter number 2 here in Ephesians, verse number 19, Paul goes on to say, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Yeah.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. And I know, Elder, that we have in times past dealt with and discussed people nowadays calling themselves apostles.
Yeah.
People nowadays calling themselves prophets. But if we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that foundation has been laid by those that carry those titles. How dare you try to build another foundation? How dare you take those titles, amen, and still try to use them in the day? So this is just another confirmation that the apostles and the prophets of the old, they were part of the foundation in which we live by now. So they're no longer needed, amen, if you will, because that was part of the foundation. When you're building a house, you don't build the foundation of the house, build a house, and on top of the roof build another foundation. It's not
only
needed.
One. Yeah.
Amen. So and it goes on to say that we're built fitly framed together, and this reminds me of in the Old Testament when they got instructions to build the temple of God, how God sent them out to the mountains to hew those stones out. And they were to take exact measurements. There were no tools allowed inside the temple of God, so they had to take the precise measurements. They had to hew those stones out in the mountains and transport them down to the building site so that those stones would fit perfectly together. They would slide, amen, right into their position. And that's what we should be doing in the body of Christ. We should come together. We should be fit jointly. We should, you know, the gifts should work together within the church.
Right.
We've dealt with before, you know, how God likes order and how God sets an order, and he has it that way for, amen, a specific reason.
Mm-hmm. Let me read this right quick, because I know we went through this, but this is relevant for right now. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, we are laborers together with God. Mm-hmm. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so he goes on, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, Apostle Paul writing, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon.
Mm-hmm.
But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the foundation has already been laid. We're building on the foundation. So that's why we got the confirmation, Ephesians 2 and 20 says, which are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
So there's no more work to do when the foundation is already done.
Amen.
So that's it's amazing. So thank God for the truth. And that's like I said, that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to bring the truth. So we're building on the foundation that is already laid, and that's that.
Amen. Going on, it says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensations of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel or the good news.
Right, that's going right back to what you were saying initially as we started out the day. So that's the mystery, and incidentally, this is what we're talking about today, the mystery of the church, part 3.
Amen.
So this is what he was saying. We were grafted in, but it was the will of God that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel.
Amen.
So that's why he was saying when he got up from the dead and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that so everybody, he was saying, every creation of man, that is, not animals, But he said, he that believeth, he ain't talking about no dog or no cat or none of that. People be coming up with some crazy stuff.
Amen.
But he's talking about human beings.
That's right.
He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So the Bible is written in the masculine gender,
yes.
But also at times it's written in the female gender. When you read in Proverbs, it's saying, talking about wisdom. Hold on to her. She is thy life. Talking about wisdom. The
yes.
subject is wisdom.
Yes.
Back then, so people be getting all out of shape, and they don't even realize, you really realize that as far as God is concerned, in his word, a child of God, you're not a male or a female. You're not a big shot or a little one, but everybody is all one.
Amen.
You're equal status.
That's right.
Well, that's why the Bible said in the world to come, we're going to be as angels. That means you're going to be neuter gender,
yes.
neither male nor female. If you want to get married, you better do it now.
Amen.
In this life.
Because you ain't
going to
do it.
You ain't going to do it then. Because you're going to be
neutered
gender. So therein lies the folly of that foolishness that these people killing themselves and thinking they're going to get 72 virgins. Now, that's foolishness. You ain't going to get nothing.
Amen.
You're going to end up getting cast into a devil's hell because of stupidity.
Amen.
Because ain't no man. You're going to be as angels.
As
they understand that. That's why he said he ain't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So we sleeping in him, we're still living. Whether we die or we're alive in Christ.
That's right.
We're in the church.
And Elder, another reason he was hammering this home or trying to reveal this mystery, if we remember back in the book of Acts, amen, when God had called Peter and sent him to Cornelius' house,
mm-hmm.
Cornelius was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, it had not been revealed that the Gentiles were allowed access to God. Now, it was strange to them. It was a mystery.
Right.
So he's trying, amen, to let these Jews know that the Gentiles have been accepted
right.
by God.
Right.
This was a mystery. This was not known to them. So he's opening up their understanding.
Yes.
And again, we have to understand that this was a mystery.
Right.
As we read this today, this
yes.
should no longer be a mystery.
Be a risk, but right.
It may be to some,
mm-hmm.
But at the time that he wrote this, it was a mystery.
Right.
We should have an understanding of these things
right.
at this present time.
Right. Even Peter, who's this spokesman, who's the one that he gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he didn't want to believe that this was for, because they said you went on to others that were not of your nation.
Yes.
And that's why the Bible say, in every nation, him that feareth him and worketh righteousness
uh-huh.
is acceptable unto him.
Amen.
So that's, he found out, like Peter even said, he rehearsed the matter, because he said, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did on us at the beginning.
Yes.
And what beginning is he talking about? The day of Pentecost.
Same
Holy Ghost fell on them. So he said, Peter said, what was I that I could withstand God?
Yes.
So, you know, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave them the same like gift, he was saying. What was I that I could withstand God?
Amen.
So we could see. God don't see as we see.
Yes.
So we're looking at colors and all of that and status.
Uh-huh.
God don't look at that. He's looking at the heart.
He doesn't look at that.
Yeah, your heart got to be right.
And so that shows us that we shouldn't discriminate. You know,
right,
if
exactly.
a homosexual or a lesbian
right.
walks into your church and they want to be saved.
He came to save sinners.
You got to
right.
receive them.
Right, exactly. We're not. And so, We're against sin and sinning.
That's right.
Don't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter what it is.
People think they're all right. They're shacking up with somebody
uh-huh.
that they ain't married to. You're just as bad as anybody else is,
amen.
As far as God is concerned.
Amen.
You know, some of these insurance companies want to get technical. Like, they don't, they want to get technical. Like, if you ain't married, it don't matter if it's your partner, you both are female or both are male, or if you were female and the other's a male, you ain't married, they're getting technical. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're not insuring y'all. Marriage is honorable.
That's right.
So like I said before. And even the world knows that. You know, like, this is my girlfriend. Like, how would that look if the president was shacking? You know, the first family, he wasn't even married to her. I mean, come on. That'd be embarrassing.
Amen.
You know, or the queen or somebody.
Right.
No, marriage is honorable. God was the one that designed marriage. Not for folks just to be doing their own thing. And that's what we're talking about. We were saying that we did walk according to the course of this world
uh-huh.
and all, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but there's a difference.
Yes.
Between unclean and clean, holy and unholy, as he said in Leviticus 10 and 10. So this is what we're talking about on today, this mystery.
Amen. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifold wisdom of God,
yes,
according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom he hath boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Verse number 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this call I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, amen, with all saints, which is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Yes. So this is the key. Verse 18, he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints. So this ain't no secret thing. Everybody ought to be saying the same thing.
Amen.
So that's a mess nowadays. People are in a big mess. Some people call themselves the end time prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks have crowned themselves the apostle. Some people is the bishop. I mean, all of these different titles that people have, and they're so important. They're more important than Jesus, and they're all mine. And, I mean, no, if we would just preach Jesus.
Amen.
They need to do that. And so the devil knows, you know, that it's like he said, you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody's so important and got their titles, and it's amazing. Like, you look on LinkedIn, you got people that's apostles and whatever on there. I mean, it's crazy. Like, come on now. Y'all don't understand biblical terminology.
Yes.
Biblical order.
Amen.
Biblical history. And then if you did, then you would know that there are no apostles nowadays. And, like, even the apostles, even Apostle Paul said, you know, how we are appointed unto death. We the offscouring of the world. You know, we went through the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, they had a terrible... it was a blessing that they were got revealed the mystery of God's word that they did, but they had to die a horrible death is
yes.
the point.
Yes.
So, I mean, they didn't call themselves to do that, but God chose them to be able to do that.
Amen.
I mean, so it's all done now. So why would somebody want to crown themselves something like that? They had to die a horrible death.
Amen.
You know, you had to be an eyewitness of the Lord. You had to walk with him. Actually, their job was to lay the foundation and write the New Testament scriptures.
Amen.
And be an eyewitness.
Amen.
I mean, you can't do that now. It's over.
You can't.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Elder, if it's something that people don't understand or they just reject it. Because, again, these things, all these things that we say, they're found
in the Word of God. Right.
It's in there.
Well, people just took off, you know, that. I think I want to be a preacher. No. You don't. That's why... Even the eunuch of great authority, when he was reading in the scripture,
yes.
and he was saying, Philip went to him. God sent Philip from that great revival mm-hmm. down to one man to
yes.
preach to one man. And he asked him a question. Understand what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me?
Yes.
So he was saying, whom speaketh he of the prophet or of himself? And Philip began at the same scripture to preach unto him, Jesus.
Amen.
So somebody got to show you the way.
Yes.
A literal man who has been born again got to show you how to walk.
Amen.
You don't know how to walk.
Amen.
Bible is not just an ordinary book.
Yes.
But in the book is life. The book is love. And the book is the plan of God. And the book is life and death. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are in the book.
Yes.
So you got to get understanding out of the book. So you, just like we say, the most important scripture in the Bible, so in Nehemiah 8:8, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to give the sense.
Amen.
You don't know how to do it. That's just like they say, I didn't even, like a baby, a human being, baby is one of the most helpless creatures on earth. They can't do nothing for themselves. Somebody got to help them.
Right.
But nowadays, our children, our grandchildren and all, they are determined like never before. Because I'll do it. They got that determination.
Yes.
But somebody got to show you how to do it.
That's right.
Then you can do it.
Amen. And even, you know, when you're talking about that, they say nowadays we have what they say, babies having babies.
Mm-hmm.
You have these young women, you know, having these kids as young teenagers. They're learning, and if you look at it in a natural, the state of the world,
mm-hmm.
you can look and see that the children coming up nowadays, they don't have the proper guidance
right.
that they should have, and that's why they make some of the mistakes that they do. You know, they say you got to crawl before you walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a learning principle, and you
right.
get some people, they come, they get saved, and right away, you know, it's not like I want to grow up and I want to be a policeman. I want to
mm-hmm.
grow up, I want to be a fire. You can't say when I grow up, I want to be a preacher.
Mm.
You can have that desire.
Right.
But God has to call you.
Right.
And then once you're called, you have to be taught. Amen. These men were taught before they were sent out
mm-hmm.
to teach and to preach. So there's steps. There is an order in God. And what we have is we have some that put themselves in these places.
Right.
And they haven't been called
right.
by God. So then they begin to teach and they begin to preach error.
Right.
And it falls on ears of people, they believe them because you say that you are an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you just say you're a minister.
Right.
People look at that and they want to believe you, and they
mm-hmm.
should. That's where, amen, the error comes in. So then, you know, they get into these things and these what Paul called mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And because they cannot properly discern them, they either fumble over them or they give off false information.
Right,
because
they don't have no understanding.
They don't have understanding. You know, one mistake I see a lot of people do is they take the Strong's Concordance and they take a word and they look at the definition and they say, well, this is what this word means, so this scripture must mean thus and thus. But again, you have to keep it in its proper context.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that God make us up lie down in green pastures,
mm-hmm.
lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he also tells us to lie not
mm-hmm.
one to another. It
right.
felt the same.
Right.
If you look and you look at the definition, it's going to say one thing, but you have to keep it in its proper context.
Yeah.
We have to be able to come to that point where we can do that, where we can rightly, amen, divide the word of God.
Yeah.
And that way these mysteries will be revealed onto us in its proper context,
right,
man.
Right, and that's why Apostle Paul told the things which I teach unto you. He told Timothy, he said, commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others.
Uh-huh.
So that's the whole point. People got to be taught first, and then so they can commit the things that they were taught unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So that's, people are not doing that nowadays. Too many people want to walk off, you know,
uh-huh.
and that people are bragging. On jobs, yeah, I'm self-taught. No, you're not. Somebody had to teach you how to do the job in the first. So that's what he was saying, yeah, here. So this is what we have to do. We got to commit things unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others, because you can't do it on your own.
Amen. You know, and he goes on, he said that some, they will wrestle the scriptures
mm-hmm.
unto their own destruction. You have to put yourself in a position where you are sat down and you are taught doctrine taken out of the churches, amen.
Right,
so,
yeah, and doctrine is teaching.
As we continue to go on
mm-hmm.
in the book of Ephesians, we'll start off next week in chapter number 4, but just, you know, people, know your Bible.
Yes.
Amen. Get into your Bible, continue to listen to us as we just take our time and walk through the scriptures and try to give you all some understanding, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We thank God for his word on the day and pray that you get an understanding out of the word of the Lord. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up into glory.